Welcome to QuakeCast, the podcast for id Software's classic Quake and the games it inspired.
Hello, Quakers, and welcome to another episode of the QuakeCast. Today, we're talking to another podcaster. This is the Motherlode. He hosts a podcast called The Keep, another Quake podcast, believe it or not.
But he doesn't just talk about Quake, though. He is definitely interested in all arena first-person shooters. So if anything from Doom to Dusk, Quake Champions, Quake 2, and even Quake World, which is still going strong with a pretty good multiplayer community overseas. So which hopefully that'll be changing. We'll get into that a little bit more.
But most importantly, Dump Truck, do you smell what the Mother Lode is cooking?
I think I'm about to.
You're about to, because believe it or not, he had a pro wrestling career.
What?
Yeah. Weird, right?
I don't know. Anything's possible in this community.
I've always told the story that the first time I played an arena shooter was Quake 3. I played it in high school in a LAN party that we set up in our business tech class because our teacher was kind of just, you know, she didn't give a shit or she wasn't there, whatever right. The case. And this guy just brought it in on a USB stick, uploaded it to all the computers, and we got going. And I didn't understand the game. I didn't understand how to strafe jump or rocket jump or anything. And most of the class didn't. And there was this guy in the class named Skittle Dick was his gamer tag, but we never actually figured out who in the class he was. And he was destroying us. And that stuck with me forever. It's like this, I don't know why. It's not like I continued to play the game at home or anything. I didn't understand. I didn't even have like a PC. It always stuck in my head, like Quake 3 Arena, like that game kicks ass. But I got to thinking about it. And the real story was the first time that I played an arena shooter was Duke Nukem Time to Kill Deathmatch with my dad as a little kid, like on PS1, I want to say. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
And yeah, and that's not like a first person shooter. It's actually third person, and it's not like Duke 3D, but it was an arena game. It was a shooter, and it's that maybe left a mark too. Like that was one of the real earliest bonding experiences I remember having with my dad, as inappropriate as Duke Nukem really was.
Right.
Well, your dad was cool in my book.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
Yeah.
Shake it, baby. Nice. Well, that's awesome. So now tell us, you've got your fingers in a lot of pies, it seems like, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around quakefans.org and all the other kind of areas that you're involved with. So kind of give us a rundown of some of the things you do, like, you know, starting with your podcast, et cetera.
So the podcast In the Keep came about, so Slip and Unkind, they run the State of Quake, podcast and Discord. They are mostly, you know, Quake champions oriented, and they had been producing this podcast and then their channel, and I was really interested in that. I heard it maybe a year or so ago, and I just kind of fell in love with their passion and their analysis of the game. And I stalked Slip down on the internet, and I was like, hey, how can I, you know, can I game with you? Can you teach me to play all this stuff? And I got more and more involved with them and became an admin on their channel. I had already been running The Keep kind of in the background, but at the time it was under a different name. And over time, I realized how, because they're remote, sort of like you guys are, that like one of them lives on the opposite side of the country and they can't always time up to get their episodes out. And I wanted to do something to help. I was like, can I do a show with like interviews and just you release it in your channel? And we'll just see on the off weeks when you guys can't do it, I'll do my show, and that's not, you know, it's not like that big a deal to me. And then over, you know, 2, 3, 4 episodes in, it became apparent to me like, okay, they're moving away from this. They're tournament curators. They'll do their podcast when they get ready to, but our show, my show, whatever you want to call it, I like to think of it collectively, like The Keep, not my thing. But yeah, like we ended up kind of getting a following, and I wanted to kind of take over control and edit it myself and not be asking Unkind, who at the time was editing the whole thing himself, and Loctar, the one that you mentioned before we started recording, that that show actually like did a little bit ago, but I held on to it because like when I take the show out on its own, I want that to be the first episode because I knew, first of all, Loktar, if you guys are into the Quake World multiplayer scene, he's a legend. To me, he's epic as hell. Like I was so excited to talk to him and I couldn't believe that I got to, and I kept that one because it was, in my opinion, the best interview that I'd done in any platform. So yeah, that I guess got your guys' attention. So that's why I'm here.
So you actually had a podcast with a few other guys and they just kind of fell away because they're doing tournaments and stuff. And now this, I guess, sort of has become your thing, though, even though you say it isn't. I mean, it sounds like you're the sort of a solo host on this now, right?
Well, they weren't co-hosting the show. They were doing the State of Quake, Quake Champions oriented podcast, right?
And I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
And I said, I'll release a show in your feed and then you guys can, you know, take a week off here and there, all that kind of thing. But, you know, it just roles change. They're State of Quake, for anyone who doesn't know, if you like Quake Champions, they are the best place in town to get into like the competitive scene. Like they're all the time, every week, twice a week, sometimes three times a week doing tournaments for that game. And you know, cool. I do casting for their events and stuff like that, but yeah, that's what they do. And that's great. And hopefully they'll get back on it. They had an epic episode with Jahar, I think was the last one they published, but they're just not currently focused on their podcast. So I took my show and moved it over into its own place. Now my show represents like the Keep, as in our Discord group and all that. And what I'm saying is I'm not the sole proprietor in that it's the Motherlode's show. It is a show about the arena shooter, which the Keep in my mind encompasses or tries to encompass.
So they coordinate tournaments and everything through their Discord, correct? Cause I'm not on that one actually, State of Quake.
Yeah.
Then they have quakefans.org or is it .net? I can't remember.
Quakefans.net is a totally separate thing. It has nothing to do with State of Quake, right? So that's Smango. This is you're right. I got my hands in a lot of pots.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah.
This is a tangled, tangled web we weave here, isn't it?
Yeah, it's okay. We'll get there. Quakefans.net is ran by a guy named Smango, and he is like just the all-time biggest fan of Quake, I guess is what you might say. He's just all around. Always posting about, you know, he was a huge follower of Quake Champions. And that was kind of how we got started into this. You know, that's how my journey into competitive Quake began, was like I got into Quake Champions years later after having that experience with Quake 3. And I don't know, I felt like after I read all his articles, I needed to reach out to this guy, and I did. And Smango was super cool, and he has been cool to me ever since. Quakefans.net, he offered as like a, put your podcast on here and I'll help you curate it and all that. It's got a pretty solid following. I even wrote an article on there a while back, just kind of about the history of the Keep and all that stuff. He's just a cool guy. I don't have a really good story to tell.
Yeah.
he's just some dude on the internet who was like super awesome, and now we're friends.
Right.
Hey
on.
Man, aren't we all, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, so go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dunchuck.
No, go ahead.
No, you go.
Oh, right. Well, one of the things that you have in your intro of your podcast, Motherlode, is basically that you want to bring all the communities together. And I did hear the Jahar episode as well, and he kind of echoed that in a different way. But so tell me, you know, how are you reaching out to like Quake 2, Quake 3 communities? I mean, what kind of give us a rundown of some of your goals and some of the people you've already had in the Keep so far.
So this is my bread and butter, kind of like, this is like my life philosophy, the whole reason I wanted to do this in the first place. I joined, like I said, I got into the Quake Champions competitive scene of interacting with the State of Quake guys. And I was playing every week, every day, like just constantly trying to get better and better and better. And I did. But I noticed over time that the entirety of the arena first person shooter community, not just Quake games, but we should all be communicating, right? We all have important ideas and learning experiences we can pass on and help each other with. And, you know, sometimes people online are just toxic ass wipes, and I didn't enjoy that part of it either. So I decided like something's got to be done about this. We've got to create I'm not going to use the word safe space, but like a way for people to like avoid that bullshit and just get straight to the meat of it. Let's bring everyone together. So I actually one day did like a council meeting almost of all of the Quake centric discords that I knew about at the time that had a substantial following, and that included like Quake Crew, Spooky Too Spooky Shed was part of it, a few others. And I reached out to all of them. I was like, hey, we need to do something about this, like these separate entities of like 100, 200, 300 people. Let's just like actually communicate between all of us. And then when we, you know, when someone posts an event, they could post it in each of these channels and then they'll get a bigger following, or you'll get more people sign up, or you'll get more people interested in it. If I post a podcast, or if State of Quake posts a podcast, or Kentucky Nerd or Smango posts anything, you know, there's no reason why we should have to be these small segmented little groups that don't speak to each other or treat each other like crap. We should have a actual Quake community. And that was like such an experience for me, because I just wanted to create a place where people would be fucking nice to each other. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that. I know the feeling.
That's
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's all I'll say about that, but
yeah, well, easier said than done. Right.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, tell us a little bit more about, you know, I mean, is the podcast where it ends, or are there, do you have other plans on kind of expanding this idea of kind of connecting things, or is it all kind of in the works?
Okay. So I'll answer the second half of the question you asked me previously, and then I'll get to that.
Got it.
So you asked, I believe, RC, you said other things that had been done on In the Keep, or other guests that we'd had.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't want to make a, you know, Quake Champions or Quake 3. Like, I thought that was kind of redundant to, 'cause there's no way, even there's probably a way that all these games have tremendous depth and plenty of people to talk to, but to encompass arena first-person shooters, I started reaching out to many different people from different games. The first episode was Violent Heart, who was a pro Quake 4 player, and a lot of people didn't even know that Quake 4 had a pro scene, but it did, and he paid his bills playing that game.
Wow.
And then I got involved with Open Arena. I talked to a guy named Dots, who is, you know, Open Arena is kind of like this IO Quake 3 open source, I don't even want to call it a mod, like they kind of built the game on it, but it's essentially exactly like Quake 3, but with mods within that that make it way more playable and cross-platform and all that. And they injected like a, I don't know how they coded it in, but there's like projectile D-lag such that they can play CTF from North America to Europe, and they can play their game without any issues on lag with rockets or anything. It's actually pretty astounding, and if you haven't tried it, like, you'd have to understand what I'm trying to say. Like, it is so weird to play with the 200 ping and feel no difference.
And
I've had Dusk people on, I've had a couple, you know, just all kind of things. I wanted to be all encompassing. I didn't want to just focus on one specific game. And then on to your next question, if you could repeat it. I apologize.
Well, no, I'm just wondering, because I know you've got some kind of plans with Dusk in the works for, QuakeCon, possibly, or
yeah, I hope
maybe,
so.
Maybe.
So here's the deal, and I'll say it. New Blood is, I don't want to say slacking. They don't have first person spectator mode in Dusk World yet, and I think Dusk World is one of the most tremendously, like, of all the games that I've played recently that are arena games, I think it has the most potential to be really, really fucking cool. And it's because of the movement, and like, I love the weapons, I love the vibe, the music by Andrew Holschel, everything about that game is freaking cool. But the multiplayer currently has a few bugs where it like won't count a kill every now and again, and some just movement things, stuff that's typical of a new online game. But mostly they don't have arena, they don't have first person spectate mode. And I wish that they would implement that, because when I did, I previously did the first Dusk World tournament to be like, you know, broadcasted and put out there for the audience. And it's been one of my more successful YouTube videos actually. But if without the first person spectator mode, it just looks janky, and I don't feel comfortable selling the game to people, you know. If they can get that figured out by QuakeCon, I would love to host a tournament at QuakeCon for that game. I know New Blood will be there, and hopefully if we can all connect and get that synced up in time, Absolutely. I'd love to do that. I think it'd be fantastic. Have you guys played Dusk at all? Tried it out?
Yeah, Dusk is great.
Go ahead.
The single player is really good. I played a bit of the multiplayer. I don't know that I fully agree with what you're saying because I didn't grasp onto it as much, but it was fun for what it was.
Yeah, I think they need work for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, I tried it early days, like right after, it was before episode 3 came out, so it was a while back, but I did purchase the game and jumped in. I think it was because of a conversation I was having with RC or maybe one of his streams, but jumped in there and played Quake World, and it was really tough because I'm old and not very dexterous, but no, it did remind me of OG Quake World and kind of just jumping in and having chaos, but so I can see why people like it. It just I just needed to acclimate to it a little bit more, but yeah, without first person or without a you know spectator mode, that's kind of tough. Going to be a little tough to do, so I don't blame you for your trepidation there.
Yeah, if they can implement it, cool. If they don't, then it's fine. Like that, like I said, I've got my hands in many pots, so I'll wait till they finish it out. I'm obsessed with Quake World right now. I'm just so inspired by the people I've talked to. I'm fully into that. So yeah, like Quake World has been. I've been up way late every night for the past 2 weeks, just like grinding, like DM6, DM2, all that stuff too. I love the competitive nature of games.
Now you mentioned on your. You've got at the end of your podcast, man, you really pimp a lot of things, which is really funny. It kind of became really overwhelming, but you talked about the multiplayer Doom Federation, and I'm just not I love Doom. I started mapping with Doom and I've played a lot of it, but I haven't played a lot of, you know, the more recent things like Eve Eternity and things like that. But this multiplayer Doom Federation, I'm like, huh, what's that? I was just fascinated. So I haven't heard that episode yet, but I'm definitely interested in hearing like the multiplayer Doom scene has got to be really crazy because it really is different. You know, it's a totally different feel than multiplayer Quake.
Absolutely.
It's so much faster. So that's going to be really fascinating. Any insights on that and some other, maybe some games that you haven't got a hands in, you know, got a hold of folks in the community that you kind of your wish list?
Oh yeah. There's a hit list. I literally have a list on my phone of everybody that I want to talk to or like communities that I want to reach out to. So Multiplayer Doom Federation was headed up by Human Bones. I did interview him fairly recently. He came from, I guess, the World Doom Federation back in the day. And through a long time of trials and tribulations, like went on to form what is now Multiplayer Doom Federation. And they do a lot of really interesting stuff because it's not just the typical, like just regular CTF and duels. They experiment with like even three-way CTF. Like, I don't even understand what they're doing half the time. I try to watch it and it is very overwhelming. Doom is the single player Doom or even co-op Doom. I kind of understand that, but the multiplayer competitive aspect is very new to me and it's a lot to take in because it's so, like you said, so different from Quake. I don't know what to say other than if you're interested in Doom, I highly recommend checking those guys out because they are another community that the reason why I support them so much is that they have that be kind to each other, have a good attitude kind of vibe, which if you don't have that, I can't say I would support anything with just that doesn't curate that sort of environment for people because fundamentally arena shooters are difficult. They're hard. They're not easy to get into. And I see a lot of people kind of turn new people away, not necessarily telling them don't play, but just it's so overwhelming that especially getting into the older stuff for like someone my age, if you're trying to learn configs, control, like how to even use a console was new to me. I didn't know that. I'd never had to do that before. I just like booted up into a server and played like it wasn't a big deal. Yeah, that's overwhelming stuff. And learning how to rocket jump, learning how to bunny hop or strafe jump or whatever, like it's understanding what FFA means. Like at first, even that was like, what mode are we playing? I jumped into a TDM match the other day and they're like, why are you team killing? I'm like, I've never played this game before.
Yeah, a lot of people in the community take it for granted. I found this in mapping and the mapping community is like, well, why don't you know this? Like, why don't you? It's like, well, because the person is new. And so I took that and kind of focused on these videos that are for people that are new and try to cover all the bases. I fail, obviously, a lot of the time, but in general, that's the tact I take. Just pretend they don't know what you're talking about. Because, and that drives me nuts about configs, like you say. It's like, oh, we could just do a config. It's like, well, I could just play this game where I don't need a config. You know what I mean? If you're doing a game, a source port or a game engine or something that's for an old game, you really should kind of modernize it as much as you can for new users. Because the whole point is, don't you want people to play this source port or this map or what have you? You know, ease of, what do they call it? A friction, you know, the friction, you're going to reduce the friction of getting involved with this thing. And in some ways there are source ports and things out there that make it easier, but even listen, I played Quake World back in the day. I played Quake 1 online in the late 90s, and I, you know, still get confused and go, okay, wait, where's it? Okay. What is this? Okay. Wait, what's the console commands? And then you spread that across like four different Quakes, like with each different technology. So you have Quake 1 and then Quake 2's subtly different console commands. Then Quake 3, forget it. It's totally, you know, not a lot different. So just between the games that you're familiar with, it's complicated.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, I think, no, go ahead.
No. I'm sorry.
No, I think that it is our responsibility, right? As, and I'm by all stretch of, by any stretch of the imagination, I'm a total noob at all of this, but I think it's our responsibility as the people who want to see these communities thrive to treat people with respect and respect the fact that if we want new people to play, first and foremost, treat them with kindness. And second of all, hold their hand. Because if I didn't have the guys that I hang out with telling me, you're a mapper, right?
Right.
You, part of what you do is that you expect people to then take a map file, download it, and put it in the right folder. I'd be damned if I knew how to do that before like I got into this kind of stuff. Like I didn't know what the hell to do. I still need guidance on all that stuff. Like just putting the textures into Quake 1 was a chore for me. You know, like I was like, why aren't my skin like textures showing up in DM4? And then like someone had to tell me how to do that. And if someone weren't kind enough to teach me how to do that, I probably would have said like, well, fuck all, I'll play something else.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And yeah, getting on to your other question. As far as plans and people that I want to talk to, I'm really open. I would even go so far as to like, if a game that I didn't necessarily like that did fit into the AFPS genre, if they were willing to talk, I would probably talk to them. Because just because I don't exactly like something doesn't mean that someone else who is interested in this stuff wouldn't be. And I don't know if it's like a duty. I've said that before. As the quote-unquote prophet of the Drowned God, whose will it is for me to, you know, make everyone frag and give each other into oblivion for all eternity and all that nonsense, I do kind of see it as my responsibility to welcome people into that sort of thing. Like if I can curate something that gets you inspired and gets you into the genre, even if that means a lot of people don't, you know, they don't like Quake Champions, but if that game gets people like me to play Quake World or to play Quake 3 or Quake 2, or Dusk or anything like that, then it's a net win for everyone, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I know. I totally agree. Yeah.
And so I reached out to, I don't know when this will be released, but I did talk to Messiah from USQC, which will be the next episode that I release. And you guys know Nationwide Moose. Yeah.
Oh yeah. We interviewed him.
Right. Yep. I loved that episode, by the way, because I'm from a similar background to him. I'll get into that as you ask. But Messiah is his other, you know, right-hand man who, like, Nationwide Moose does, like, runs their Doom servers. Messiah runs their Quake servers. And I had a tremendous time talking to people, you know, people like him who are not, like, famous. I've had, you know, I've had Cygib on and Loctar. Like, I'm not, it's not all about fame and fortune or anything like that. It's about the people who are literally grinding it out. This guy is, those two guys in particular are curating a community for new people to get into Quake World and revitalizing the Quake World scene in North America. And you guys are doing the mapping stuff, and that's fantastic. But as far as the competitive side goes, we are lagging behind. We're getting killed by Europe, and that's not what the U.S. is all about, right? Like, we want to win. Uh-huh. So we gotta curate our young community, or even get the veterans to come back and teach, you know, something like that, if we want to revitalize that. And I'm so excited about what they're doing. I can't even tell you how excited that makes me. So yeah, that's really what that comes down to for me, is I want to talk to people like that. I want to talk to even the, like, if you're just like popular streamers, like, I think that's a great way to reach younger people too, because that's what they do, is they sit around and watch Twitch. That's how they learn about games. I would talk to any kind of person who has some kind of say or pull in the Arena community, or who has a positive attitude, if that would get more people to join our little club.
Well, I know I can search on Twitch, but do you have any recommendations for streamers for the various games that you've come across? Like, so you mentioned some in the podcast, and I was hiking, so I didn't write it down, but who's like a good Quake World streamer that I could tune into and check out? Like, if I haven't seen Quake World in a while, I've done US Quake community stuff just recently, but that's all I've done. So I haven't partook in any multiplayer Twitch lately.
Okay. So I don't have a real answer to that question, and I wish I did. And if someone could reach out to me and let me know who that is, I'd like to know.
Maybe it was Jahar. Maybe it was Jahar's.
Yeah, absolutely.
Podcast. That was probably his podcast.
So Jahar is one that I mention all the time, and that would be the number one answer. Is if you want to see professional, world class Quake World, go to Jahar's stream. Get on, Tasty Spleen, and see Milton melt people in TDM, and like that kind of stuff is crazy. But as far as like just any other Quake World streamers, there's not a lot of them. I would say definitely check out Messiah and Nationwide Moose, because they're always putting their events up, or FFA. I plan to, going forward, try to cover that community more and more on in the Keeps Twitch. So, but that's still new to me too. I'm still learning how to really, stream. That's not my forte. This is all a huge learning curve for me. I'm overwhelmed, guys.
Well, there's a lot to it, and you got 20 something years of history, going back to not only the the pros and everything, but you got to have all these maps that have been released, all these deathmatch maps, and of course, depending on which Quake you pick, it's a whole other can of worms for sure.
Yeah, but I think over time I will, as I failed to do just now, I would like to be able to point to someone if they come into my server, or they, email me or whatever, reach out to me in some way and say, like, hey, I'm really interested in learning how to play, Quake 2 or Master Arena or Open Arena or something like that, Quake 3. I want to be able to say, go to my Allied channels. And you can do this to an extent now. Go to Allied channels, find the channel that I just told you to look up, and then message their admin, and they will give you everything you need to know. That is the ultimate goal, really, is to be able to send people exactly where they need to be. And that's cool. There's started to be a more of a trend of that across multiple servers. I don't want to say it was all my idea, because there's always been like, here's some other Discord links, but my Allied channels thing, I think, is caught on a bit. I'm starting to see that pop up. Like Quake Crew is doing that. Ultraviolence did that. State of Quake, I actually curated theirs. I want to have that ability to say, like, if you're looking for X, go to this channel, click on this link, talk to this person, and you'll have everything you need.
Yeah, that's what I loved about the US Quake community, because they've got one little channel there, and it was like, oh, okay, good. I can find everything I'm looking for.
Yeah.
For some specific things. But yeah, that's very cool, especially if you connect communities together. It would be kind of fun to see. I just recently kind of added some other channels, other games to my Quake Mapping Discord, which it was really kind of, I was like really resisting it, but, people kept asking, like, hey, do you ever think you're going to do any Quake 2 stuff? And I'm like, well, in my videos, eventually I will. So might as well have the channel. So I added Doom, Hexen 2, Quake 2, and Quake 3. And that's kind of based on Trench Broom, because a lot of Trench Broom users come to my channel because that was the videos were focused on that. So, but it is cool to have new people trickling in and seeing screenshots from a Doom map, which, I ordinarily wouldn't have seen. So, so there's a lot to joining these communities. And I honestly think Discord's kind of the new, that's what's facilitating all this.
100%.
It's just it's so easy, compared to something like a website, or, websites even seem kind of quaint now, when you have all this, when you have all this stuff at your fingertips. So.
Yep. There's a place for everything though. Like if you're trying to reach an audience, not everybody uses Discord. So try to post it on Twitter or get your Twitch to auto post or whatever you can do. I'm still learning to do that as well, but yeah, however you can reach people, or Reddit, even though Reddit can be really shitty, but sometimes someone nice, like, just Google's, how can I learn more about Quake World? And then they see a podcast that I've, or a website link or something to bring them slowly towards us, whatever works. I think, you mentioned Trench Broom, which, by the way, your videos are fantastic. And you said earlier that you tried to make a beginner's thing and you said that you kind of felt like you failed. I disagree. I feel like you are doing an excellent job with your channel, and people constantly, before I even knew about your podcast, people are always saying, if you ever want to get into mapping, you got to check out Dump Truck. In fact, I just got a message right before we got on here. And then this guy was like, oh, I fucking love Dump Truck. Like, everybody loved you. And RC I as well.
Well, there's one.
Yeah.
that makes me feel good. One. That's right.
And I believe that the plan going forward for Duskworld is for them to have the ability for you to make maps in Trench Broom and upload them to their game. So hopefully they get the SDK out.
That'd be cruel.
Yeah.
It's definitely in the works and has been in the works for quite a while. So, which is very cool. And same with Wrath as well. I don't know if Wrath, Aeon of Ruin, is on your radar.
Oh, yeah.
But, So it's an exciting year for Quake, man, in the Quake community. I mean Quake 1, but you know, that kind of expands out because we, on Quake mapping, we have, you know, a lot of people who are into Quake 2 who are also into Quake 1. So there's all kinds of, you know, we've got this fantastic mapper like Giftmarker, who's going to be a guest on the show in a couple weeks. And he is, he's a legendary Quake 2 mapper, which I never knew. I was like, wait, someone told me. I'm like, oh, really? Perfect. We'll have him on the show.
I get that all the time, man. In tournaments too, like we'll get an entrant and I'll be like, who the hell is this guy? I never heard of him. And then it'll like, oh, he was like the world champion CPMA player. I'll be like, oh, okay. Oh, excuse me. Sorry.
Yeah, people like to dabble in, you know, unlike Loktar, you know, he only plays one game.
So how long have you been playing Quake? Because it sounds like you're relatively new to the whole thing.
I am. As I mentioned before, I played a little bit of Quake 3 in high school. I then went a very long time without having a computer or really anything or any connection to this place. And then one day I was sitting here. I live in Arizona now, and a friend of mine who knew that I wanted to build a computer because I was becoming more and more interested in just computers in general. He literally showed up at my house one day with a full on gaming computer and said, all you have to do is buy a graphics card and a mouse and keyboard.
Nice.
And I was like, I gave that guy the biggest hug. Like I mean, I kind of owe a lot of this to him specifically. And yeah, so I got a gaming computer and I sat down. I started learning a little bit more about games that I wanted to play, which were mostly RPGs or Wolfenstein, Doom, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I discovered this new game that had just come out, which was Quake Champions. It was still in beta. This is 2018, early 2018, mid 2018. And I was like, wow, I remembered playing Quake 3, and I had been dabbling back into Quake 3 with just some friends. And I really enjoyed that. I was like, man, I'm really excited. I'm so glad I checked this game out again. But I saw Quake Champions and I'm just like, I got to give this a shot, man. This is the game that I remember from so long ago that really got me so excited. I've got to try out the new game. So I did. And definitely Quake Champions is a little whack. It's got some bugs. It's got some issues with the balancing and the champions thing. And the complete utter inability to make maps is a problem. But I did enjoy it enough that I kind of became obsessed with it, and I got back into that groove of like, all right, now I got to look up Frothy Omen's videos about how to strafe jump and how this, you know, how to use different maps and like all that kind of thing. And then I started playing competitively. This has all been over the course of, I think the Keep officially will have its 1 year anniversary pretty soon. So right around that time frame is when I really started deep diving into all of this.
That's cool. You've been podcasting longer than us, so that's definitely saying something.
Is that true? That's not true.
Yeah, we started this back in September, was it?
Oh, I wasn't podcasting. In September, was I? When was my first podcast? I don't even remember.
No, we started in September, November, somewhere around there.
Oh, no. So the anniversary of the Keep itself, like the Discord community, not the podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have the Keep Discord and the Keep podcast. I wasn't sure which.
Okay.
So how long has the podcast been running?
Since the beginning of 2019, I want to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Right around that area.
I also see in your bio here too, that you say that you, it says your role is unclear, as far as the Quake community goes. It sounds like you've kind of carved a niche for yourself here as a podcast host, for sure.
How would you describe me? Like, what is your perception? I'm curious.
I mean, your role as a podcast host, correct?
I guess so. Yeah. I don't know. I do so many things.
I mean, my role is, Quake guy who makes terrible jokes. So there's that, dump truck, you know, wise guide of trench broom and other things. You have that. I do see in your bio, after you mentioned your role, though, you mentioned about being the prophet of the drowned god. Can you go into that a little bit? Because I wasn't sure. Because I know at the beginning of your podcast, you kind of talk about that a little bit. So what is that all about?
It's just a silly thing. I mean, I take it super serious. That's what I meant to say. We just created a mythos. We were having fun dicking around as friends in the Discord one night. And we were like, we should have an identity, right? We should have some kind of like thing that brings us all together. And so I started writing out like actual lore. And that involved, so Cathala, if anyone here, if you're listening to this podcast and you're not familiar with Quake, I welcome, first of all. But, you know, it's all Lovecraftian, right? Or at least the first game was, and the second game got more military, but overall, there's always going to be that Shub-Niggurath and Cthulhu and Azathoth and the Elder Gods and the Lovecraft thing. And I love that. I'm a huge fan of Lovecraft and have been since I can remember how to read. And I wanted to like, well, let's pick one of these Elder Gods and let's just say that we're a cult, you know, and we worship the Elder Gods. So we became the, you know, the cult of Cthulhu. The Discord was originally called Cthulhu's Keep, but I quickly realized that people are not going to spell Cthulhu right every time. So we shortened it up to just The Keep. And then the podcast was like, well, The Keep as a podcast title wouldn't work. But if we said In The Keep, it's like, okay, first of all, you're staying in the keep with, you know, with the modern day and way of the arena shooter community. It's literally in the keep as in you're in our Discord or you're hanging out with us. Or you're that kind of thing. That's what it really came down to. But I became the prophet of the drowned god because I'm the one shouting from the rooftop saying, like, follow us, join our cult, like, kind of thing. That's all it is.
Yeah, RC, fun, RC and I are kind of old farts, so we don't right. Like, it seems to me, and I'm not, this isn't a dig or anything, just an observation. It seems to me that younger players do like lore. I mean, I see a lot of requests like, hey, is there any lore? Like, I think it was on Reddit, at the Quake subreddit, about people asking about lore, and I keep seeing that question come up. Like, really, people are really into this stuff, and it's not that I'm not. I mean, I just feel like, you know, I know that Quake is Lovecraftian, and you can dive as deep and make as deep a connection to that as you want for Quake 1 anyway, and now Quake Champions as well, which I thought it was cool to see some of that in there. Mm-hmm. So, but it just seems like it's a young person's thing, and us old crusty old guys are like, let's blow shit up. It's like, I just want to blow things up. No, but it is cool. It is. It's fun.
Can I give you a young person's perception of that?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay.
No, get off my lawn.
Damn it. I knew it. So in my opinion, the reason why I gravitate personally towards older games, I think, is that there's a good balance, right? There's Duke Nukem. You don't need to know much about him other than he's a badass, right? And that's all implied in the gameplay. You don't have to have like this whole explanation of the story. Caleb from Blood, mm-hmm. You know, Doom Guy and Quake Guy even more so. And they have the kind of link effect that, you know, they never speak really. You know, that it's not really a character so much as it is a something that is badass that you can personify yourself into. You know, I want to save the princess. I want to kill the aliens. I want to murder these demons. And you can kind of make up your own story and personify yourself into that. Mm-hmm. And then all the Lovecraft stuff in Quake kind of, you know, you can just, if you're interested in lore, you can read into Lovecraft and it's there if you want it to be, and you can make up your own idea of what it is. I think that has a lot to do with it. Games like Dark Souls even, you know, that it's not just in your face like The Witcher is with like, here's the story and all that kind of shit. It's like, you kind of, if you are interested in the lore, you can pick up little things and read them along the way. They implement that into Wolfenstein. Wolfenstein is a lot of cutscenes, though, the modern Wolfenstein. And Doom is, you can also like find the little tablets and read a little bit into what's going on, but you don't have to pay attention to that shit if you don't want. So I think that's a good balance.
Right. For mappers, well said. Mappers, you know, I mean, for mappers, for as far as Quake, it can inform kind of where you are and what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And the more you do that, the more you give a little backstory. I always got a kick out of, like, even back in the 90s, reading a little story about what was going on right before you jump into a level. And I know, RC, I know you read every so often when it's a really old level, you will read the readme and kind of do the setup as well. I've seen that on your show plenty of times. Mm-hmm. So it does add, it's additive. It's not a requirement, like you say.
Correct.
I wanted to ask you about QuakeCon. Are you still going? Are you planning on going?
Oh, I'll be there 100%.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, man. This is your first one, I take it.
Yes, it is.
Cool. Cool. Well, I have not been in many years, but I think every fan of Quake should try to go one time. It is a lot different than it used to be, so I'm not as interested in going. And plus, it's just hard to find the time to bust away and go. But
Bethesda Con.
I went to the. Yeah. It's much more about marketing and kind of, you know, it's so trippy to see live streams. Like, oh yeah, I could just watch the whole thing on the internet now. And back in the old days, it was like, oh my God, Tech TV's going to be here. And they would do a live
G4,
remote.
G4, whoa.
Yeah. It was G4 actually at that time. So, you know, good for you. It's a totally different experience. And it's just, imagine all the LAN parties you've ever been to. Maybe you haven't been to any, but all the LAN parties you can imagine all at once, basically. So it's a lot of fun.
I have to accept the fact that though I wish I could, I will never get to live in the glory days that you guys lived in. So I'm just going to approach it with a good attitude. I'm looking forward to meeting my friends. That's why I want to go.
That's the best thing, actually.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
I want to meet my friends that I've you know, that's weird. Like, this is all very new to me, this idea that I have like these close friends that I've never seen their face. And to finally like get to give them a hug and be like, dude, I love you so much. And like the people that I work closely with, like Spaced, I don't think he's actually going to be able to make it to QuakeCon, but like, this is a guy I talk to nearly every day because he makes the artwork for the podcast. He's taught me how to do 90% of what I'm doing in all these games and everything. And I can't express enough how exciting it is to meet all of these people. I mean, that is overwhelming. That is religious experience nearly.
And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, actually, because that's the one thing that's missing from games today in general. You know, it's the whole idea of like, you know, when I was growing up, it was all about like renting a game with your friends on Friday night and mm-hmm. going over their house, getting pizza and playing together. And that has kind of disappeared, really. And LAN parties were that, you know, times 10, and they were so fun. And so I really, really like that you mentioned it's all about showing up, hanging out with your friends, because nowadays everybody's about like who's really talented at whatever game, who could speed run this the fastest, who can get the most frags. And it's like, dude, it's never about that. It's about who could do the funniest thing in a map, you know, when we're all just messing around doing, you know, that's what it was always about for us anyway. It's like, oh, did you see your friend Joe fly across the map when you hit him over there? Like, it was just stuff like that. That was so fun.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like a lot of the fun has been taken out over the years because of that, but no, I'm thrilled to hear you say that though.
But it is my personal mission to undo that as much as I can. And at least as far as I can reach, like I want everyone to just have a good time. That's what this really means to me. What else you got for me?
Well, we've talked a lot about Quake. I've been itching to ask you about this because I saw it in your bio.
Oh, geez.
but you had a very interesting stint as a wrestler, no less. And I guess you were a heel in professional wrestling at one point. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I'll talk about it. It's fun. I actually enjoy telling the story, although it is very silly. So in high school, after, you know, kind of disconnected from playing Quake, I had, you know, met friends doing that were really, really into pro wrestling. And growing up where I did, which is in South Alabama, which is why I was so interested in Nationwide Moose, because he grew up like a few towns over and I never met him. And he's the same age.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I grew up in the South and wrestling has always been a big thing there, especially like when you're a kid in the 90s and Stone Cold Steve Austin and Kane and The Undertaker and all those larger than life characters and all that, like that
right
and encompassed my childhood. I was obsessed with pro wrestling. and I always kept that in the back of my head. And I met one of my best friends to this day who was also a huge wrestling nerd, And we both decided at the end of high school, like our senior year, like, let's do this. Let's give this a shot. And I'm not a big dude. Like, if you guys saw me, you'd laugh your ass off, because I'm really not a big dude. But I was like committed to, like, I can do this. I can learn to do this. It's a hard business. The day that I was supposed to walk on my graduation, I did graduate high school, but I did not walk. I drove to Georgia to learn the craft of pro wrestling from this guy called Mr. Curtis. And he had been in the, you know, World Wrestling Federation and done some things. And he's a pretty well-noted trainer, at least as far as I knew at the time. And so, yeah, we went up there and did like a camp, met a lot of really cool people, learned to take our first bumps and, you know, kind of do some moves. What was interesting was that I just, what they want you to do is, you know, first of all, make sure you can fall on your back without crying like a bitch. And I did that fine. and then I got into the ring in front of the head trainer. And it was just like a very simple move. Like, just go up and like do like an arm bar to a guy. And he drilled me, I shit you not, maybe 400 times in a row to do the same thing over and over again, to see if I had the will to do this. And I guess I won, because after that, they kind of took a more of an interest in me. They're like, this kid, he sucks, but he's not going to give up. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So I went back home with all that experience in my head, and I ended up finding a more local trainer to work with, who his name was, his wrestling name is the Gothic Warrior, Dalton Cross. And he was like a father figure to me, like really just guided me not only to be a wrestler, but kind of like to be a man at that young age. And I'm still young, but like, this is, you know, 6 years ago. And every day I'm like at his house and he's like watching tapes with me, showing me how to do things, teaching me about, because wrestling's not just about athleticism as much as it is about psychology. And that's something that people in the South really understand, is that it's about telling a story. It's not about, you know, if people say it's fake fighting or whatever. Like, it's a theater troupe. It's a really sweaty, silly theater troupe is what it really comes down to.
That's great.
Yeah. And like these big macho dudes that at the end of the day are really just theater girls in my mind. And I had such, I met some of the most interesting, wholesome people and some of the worst people you could possibly imagine being around and all of that. And it was an amazing experience. I ended up becoming a heel character. I was called Ty Sagan, and I was the illegitimate son of, or grandson rather, somehow or whatever, connected to Carl Sagan. And I wanted to use the astrophysicist. And I was like, I would go out in front of crowds at like a bar in Mississippi, and I would like talk for 5 minutes about how today is the anniversary of the Voyager 1, like shit that people don't care at all about. And I would just get them booing. And then someone would come out and kick my ass. And it's so much fun. And I was a shrimpy little dude too. Like, I got pretty muscular, but at the end of the day, I'm like 5'8". And, you know, you get some big tall dude come out there, kick the shit out of me. Everybody cheers. They buy a beer. It's a good time.
Yeah. You fit the part perfect then. That's great. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I cracked my dome. I got hit in the head with a steel chair, split my head open, and I had to like, maybe I should reconsider how I'm going to make my money. So,
man.
Yeah, it happens, dude. Like, that's just part of the game. And I think my wife wouldn't forgive me if I ever tried to get back into that. So I'm just focused on, you know, this Quake is my thing now, and I'm happy with that. I have a great story to tell for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I love that, man. That's so cool. I have a pretty deep respect for some of those guys, because like you said, yeah, they're basically like a big sweaty theater troupe or whatever. But like they, you know, some of those guys like really work hard, you know, and as much as it's about fake fighting and fake winning, a pretend belt or whatever people say, some of those guys are so athletic and crazy. It's insane.
It is the single most brutal business other than like military service. I think it's one of the craziest things anyone could ever do as far as being successful. If you're actually making your living as a pro wrestler, you are one tough son of a bitch, 100%. Like,
it's like being a stunt man, but doing like 50 stunts instead of just one.
Every,
you know, you're doing every night you're doing like 50 different stunts, quote unquote. That's really crazy.
Yeah, man.
Ooh, there you go.
Oh yeah, it's after five.
Now it's time.
It's after 5.
Yeah, exactly. hey, I was your podcast, you want someone to send you a beer. Now I got to go look this place up, but you're going to have to come out to Hollywood and I'll take you for some good beer.
Hell yeah, dude. I just want a beer sponsor on the show. Like, I've got comments that like, we can hear you in the audio when you crack one and it's just like, you're so good at it. You're so perfect at it. I'm like, it's good advertising, wouldn't it be?
Exactly.
That's funny.
Yeah, RC, he had Loctar on there, and I think Loctar had about 3 or 4 beers, and they were being delivered to him during the course of the podcast. It was like an hour and a half.
Dude, Loctar is a punk, son.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
So it looks like you've moved on from wrestling to weather forecasting now.
Oh yeah, that's my day job and night job, because I have like, that's a real interesting thing that kind of ties into the podcast, right?
Yeah.
So I work wacky shifts because weather doesn't just not happen on holidays and during the night, unfortunately. So yeah, I got into weather forecasting. It's very scientific and rewarding, but it's also a pain in the ass. But the shift work allows me to interview people like Loctar, right? Like, I'm up in the morning, I'm just like ending my day as they're, you know, right around the same time they are. So I've like, I have this opportunity to talk to like people from all around the place. It's not as difficult as it is if it's like, oh, it's got to be between X and so hours. I could just say like, I'm off when you're off, like I'm ready in the 4 a.m. or whatever the hell you want. Like, I don't care. And I got to talk to like Ceasepool, Loctar. I just got done speaking to a guy named Ken Flix, who is developing Master Arena, or he's the character modeler on Master Arena. Like, that's so cool to me. I'm really appreciative of that factor. Can I ask you guys questions?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
No one ever asks us questions, please.
I know. And that, exactly. I had to keep in mind, my wife was telling me, because I was kind of nervous, you know, I don't really get interviewed. I usually ask the questions. I was just curious, like, what was your guys' experience getting into podcasting, knowing that you have this very niche topic?
Well, I could definitely say from my point of view, I wasn't too afraid of it, because like you said, with it being a niche thing, it was kind of like, well, if this only lasts a couple episodes, then, you know. But it's actually been a very fun experience hanging out with Dump Truck on here and talking to all these people. Just like you said, we've talked to some really amazing people already in the single player community. And some of these guys are super talented, working on different games and things, working on different mods. It's been a lot of fun so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tend to agree with RC. It's been great to get to know him, and that's the fun part. And then just, it's fascinating to interview these people, like especially people you kind of know online. So the last episode was JCR, and I know him, and we interact quite a bit on the Discord, and it's just great to talk to him, hear his voice, see, you know, mm-hmm. kind of see what his sense of humor is like. I think that's the most fascinating aspect for me, because no matter what, when we're talking about Quake and games in general, we're going to have a good time. It's going to be something that's interesting. We don't argue a lot. It's not acrimonious. And I'm glad. I think there's plenty of that out in the world. This is just kind of, you know, kind of a kumbaya, Quake baya kind of set up here. And we get a little flack from some elements of the community, but I really don't care. You know,
welcome.
It's try to keep things.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh yeah, definitely. So that's my takeaway from it. And then I'm just trying to get as professional as RC is, because he sounds like he just came right off the radio.
Oh, get out of here.
And I'm like, oh, where's my notes?
You guys are excellent interviewers. Like, just as a, like thinking about it from the point of view of just an interviewer, I enjoy your show so much. And this is a criticism I have of myself, is that you guys actually know how to shut up and listen to somebody and wait for them to finish. Whereas I'm still, it may be a young guy thing, I tend to be thinking about what the next thing I'm supposed to say is. And I'm getting better at it, but I love the fact that you guys are so good at that.
Yeah. I'll tell you the trick is, in 15 years, when you're older, you learn to fall asleep when other people are talking.
What?
Yeah.
That's the secret. There it is. No, to be quite honest, the majority of the people we interview, I view them as like way smarter than I am, because the majority of the people we're interviewing are creating all these really cool maps and cool mods and working on games that I'm going to be playing in the future. So I'm like, I'm just making dumb, you know, dick jokes and stuff while we're talking here. That's all I'm doing, you know? So I'm just keeping the conversation going. But I always look at it as like, anybody who's talking about whatever they're talking about, they're going to be passionate. It's going to be really easy to listen to whatever they're talking about because of that. And so it's going to be really easy to relay that into whatever the next, you know, part of the question or part of the conversation is going to be. But that's just how it works for me.
One thing I'll add is that, you know, whether you like it or not, if the audience is 20 or 200 or 2000, you're going to get feedback, and it's, you can't please everybody, but I will say the feedback that we've gotten has been super encouraging. So mm-hmm. that's what keeps me coming mm-hmm. back, because if I felt we were failing or boring people, what have you, I'd be like, well, maybe we shouldn't do it. Or do something different or change it up somehow. But the feedback has been great. And again, we get plenty of like, well, why don't you do this? Or why don't you have this person on? Or so we get a lot of suggestions and things. So it's fun. It's nice, the interactivity aspect of it.
I really just enjoy the ability to, I have an excuse to talk to people who probably wouldn't talk to me otherwise. Like, you know, like there's no reason.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Why some people would like take the time for an hour or so out of their day to talk to me. But if I'm doing something that's not just about me, it's for a lot of different people. It gives me this unique opportunity to really like, hey, Cygib, I know you have a busy schedule with, you know, getting paid thousands of dollars to play Quake. But if you could sit down for an hour and talk to me, he wouldn't do that. Maybe unless I had some reason for him to do that. And I think it's an overall benefit to the entire community to be able to hear from someone like him or like Blocktar or C-Spool.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And you guys have, I like your show not only for that, but I just learned so much about things that I don't understand about the games by listening to you guys.
Well, glad to be of service.
Yeah. Yeah. This is RC. Thanks for listening to the Quakecast. You can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/watchGGRC.
And I'm Dump Truck. You can find me on YouTube. Just search for DumpTruck_DS.
But Dump Truck, most importantly, do you smell what the mother load is cooking?
I think so. He's going to give us the bottom line.
I hope not. is he?
What just happened?
Okay. I'm not sure.
Try again.
But more importantly, Dump Truck. But more importantly, Dump Truck, could you smell what the mother load is cooking?
I think so. Was that gross?
Yeah, it was gross.
I had a little haunted nose there for a second.
Can hear your nose hairs just rattling in your nostrils.